Roll call.
Dr. Guarino?
Present.
Yes.
Dr. Bennett?
Present.
Dr. Knopf?
Present.
Ms. Angela Powell? Mr. Mitchell Turbinson?
Present.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to recognize our newly licensed chiropractors. It is your duty to show up at one of our meetings in the first year after you've been licensed to learn what the board does and hopefully learn what to do to not have to come before the board. So thank you for attending either virtually or in person. Our first formal hearing today is tab number one, and that's a matter of Dr. David R. Magnin. We'll start with that.
Good morning, Chairman, board members. This is Monique Cody, your independent advisor. I wanted you to note that in the notice of hearing that the state sent out, which is Exhibit B, page four, this hearing for Mr. Magnin is listed to start at 9:15 a.m. So I recommend that we go to tab two and then wait until 9:15 for Mr. Magnin, since that's the time he was noticed for.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Thank you, Ms. Cody.
Oh, okay. That was Monique Cody. Sorry about that.
Okay, so let's go ahead and switch over to tab number two then, which is also a formal hearing in the matter of Dr. Troy Shibley.
All right. If we could kind of, we were unable to notice Dr. Shibley. All of the notices that we, for the addresses that we were able to locate and the addresses that were provided to the board by Dr. Shively, all of that mail came back undeliverable, both the certified mail as well as the regular mail. So I would like to either have the board entertain that since his license is lapsed, that we would treat it much the way we treated the Matera matter, where we would just go ahead and dismiss and allow his license to lapse, and this board staff would document that there are these matters that he would have to address should he reapply for licensure, or if the board would like, considering the history of this matter, if you would like to direct us to get a process server in attempts to locate him and serve him so that we would know that he was properly noticed.
Okay. So board members, the option is to make a motion to dismiss without prejudice and let his license lapse. And then if he wanted to apply for a license at some point, all of the same matters would be in front of him and he would have to answer to the cases that we have listed or try to serve him. But we haven't been able to contact him for years now. So do we need a motion for that now?
Mr. Chairman, I'm inclined to make the motion to dismiss without prejudice, but before I do, I just want to confirm with and run by our Assistant Attorney General that we have performed due diligence relative to noticing this this particular person, and that we have done due diligence relative to that.
Absolutely. Dr. Bennett, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state in this matter. It is my understanding that the board tried to notice him in probably, I'd say, five or six different ways. There was an extensive online search. Everything came back undeliverable. So we do know that he does not, we actually know that he does not have notice.
Very well. That said, Mr. Chairman, I would move to dismiss without prejudice.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye. We'll do a roll call vote.
Dr. Guarino?
Aye.
Dr. Bennett?
Aye.
Dr. Knopf?
Aye.
Mr. Turbinson?
Aye.
Okay. And Ms. Powell is absent. So the ayes have it, and we'll go ahead and dismiss without prejudice and let the license lapse. So Let's move on to tab number 8 now, since we're not quite to 9:15 for our formal hearing. Tab number 8 is a matter of Dr. Rue.
Yes, can we have 1 minute to contact the doctor's attorney at his request?
Okay.
Perfect, thank you. Dr. Guarino, Mr. Hoover has joined the board meeting.
Yes.
Dr. Bruce, attorney.
Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Hoover, how are you? This is Dr. Guarino.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking us at this time. Well, I'm not showing up.
Okay, well, we can hear you.
Perfect, thank you.
So can I get a board brief, please? This is a weather to open tab.
Yes, this is a weather to open tab, and during the renewal process, board staff was reviewing Dr. Rue's renewal application, and he answered yes to question number 22 on his 2020 renewal application. Question 22 says, pursuant to ARS 323208A and AAC R4-7-503C6, since your last renewal, have you been arrested or charged with or indicted for or under investigation for a misdemeanor or a felony? He explained that he was investigated by the Phoenix Police Department for an incident that happened during treatment of the patient. Dr. Rue said that he had requested his attorney have the document sent from the agencies involved to the Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners, but nothing was received. The patient alleged that Dr. Rue touched her breast during treatment on 9/22 of 2020 when he was utilizing an active release and myofascial release therapy technique. He stated that for the procedure, he had the patient lay face down while he worked on the neck and the shoulders. Dr. Rue took a polygraph test and he was asked during the treatment, did you intentionally touch the patient's Irma's breast? Have you ever touched patient Irma's breast for any sexual purpose? Did you lie to me, the examiner, today regarding the treatment of patient Irma? To which Dr. Ryu answered no to each question, and the test results was no deception indicated. Additionally, we received a statement from the chiropractic assistant stating that she was called into the treatment room to translate for the patient and ask how she felt, and that her right neck and shoulder were in pain, and that it moved toward her head. Then he asked if he could repeat the same muscle therapy for her neck and shoulder today. The patient responded, yes, I'm still in pain, but it's okay to do the same treatment. He then stated, if you feel like it is too strong or not comfortable, please let me know and I will stop. To which the patient responded, okay. The chiropractic assistant left the room, and that while she was there, she was lying face down on the table. She performed the neck and shoulder muscle therapy. She also stated she passed by twice and nothing out of the norm was occurring, and that the treatment room was within viewing area of the waiting room, as well as the blinds were open. The actions the board may consider is to take no action. You may consider opening a complaint for inappropriate physical contact or danger to the health and safety and welfare. That is all, Board Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and board members, we have in your packets a letter from Valerie Stranieri, the deputy county attorney, and this letter says that the decision has been made not to pursue charges at this time, just for your reference. Mr. Hoover, what do you say on behalf of your client?
Yes, good morning, thank you. I won't repeat what has been shared with you, other than to say that this matter has been fully investigated by the county attorney's office, and there was no finding that prompted them to move forward. Uncommon, given the fact that Dr. Rio passed his polygraph test. The findings of the polygraph test of no deception noted are unique in that is when you get on the end of polygraphs, usually you find that most of them say they cannot detect it one way or the other. This is a definitive no deception noted. So that is as strong as you're going to get other than the he said, she said situation. Please note the patient did not come forward to the board with this complaint. Dr. Ryu reported it voluntarily on his renewal application. All investigation indicates that there was nothing to that particular concern. So we would ask that the board accept the findings of the county attorney and decline to open a complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Holver. Okay, so board members, well, Dr. Ryu, are you here? Hi, come on up and have a seat. And then if you can just please introduce your name for the record.
My name is Dr. Ryu.
Hi, thanks for joining. Okay, so board members, under a weather to open tab, you're aware we can take no action. If you want to hear from the potential patient victim, then we would open up a complaint and see if she wants to come in and testify. However, this did not come as a complaint from her. This was a self-report. So what's your pleasure? Or do you have any questions for either Dr. Ryu or Mr. Holver?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from Dr. Ryu on his personal accounting of what his perception of what occurred was.
This is Charlie Holver. I believe he presented a fairly significant written statement. I don't know if you all have that as part of your packet, where he described the care and treatment provided. He provided a link to the technique that followed. Given that you're just determining whether or not to open up a complaint, I don't know that we're in a position to actually answer questions at this time. So
do I correctly understand that you are advising your client not to respond?
Well, I'm just trying to determine in this process where you're just determining whether or not to open up a complaint, no formal charge or complaint from the board has been filed. So we're kind of shooting at ghosts here, given that we don't have anything specific to respond to. We've not had the opportunity to read the board's specific assertions, and we certainly have not had an opportunity to address them specifically in writing as the normal course of a complaint goes. I think that the information that the board has in front of it is sufficient to determine whether it wants to move forward or not. And as I've said before, given the thorough investigation by the county attorney's office, I don't think there's sufficient cause or concern for the board to move forward.
So that's a yes. You're advising your client not to respond. Okay, well, then I have no further questions.
Okay, and so if we want to, if you want to hear from Dr. Ryu and get more details, we can open up a complaint and bring it back on another day. Or if you're satisfied with the patient records that were given and what we have, then we would just take no action.
I'd move we take no action.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion?
For discussion purposes, I'm a little concerned. We don't have a police report or anything. I see it was requested, but Mr. Holver, have you ever received the police report?
We have not, and the request came from his criminal attorney, who has retired. The request went out, and the police department has not provided it as yet. I will say that in my experience, police departments are very, very recalcitrant in handing over these things in any kind of a timely manner. So we have made the request. We haven't received it. Obviously, they didn't send it on to you. The county attorney certainly had it and made her decision based on what was contained in that.
And I guess my concern lies with the county attorney was doing a different inquiry than we have before us. And, you know, we have a little bit different standards than the county attorney uses. And really everything we have as far as the patient's view of things is kind of secondhand. And so I guess that's my only concern is that we can rely on the county attorney, but the county attorney did a criminal you know, look at things, and that's not where we look at things here.
Well, I would just, if I may respond to that, the basic investigation went to the claim of improper touching of her breasts. They satisfied themselves that did not occur. And the polygraph confirmed, if you will, Dr. Ryu's recitation of that there was no intentional touching of the breast, no sexual gratification from that. So, yes, you're correct in that they're looking to see if it's something that can be prosecuted and there's a chance of conviction. But this kind of went beyond that, if you will, into the realm of actually looking at what did Dr. Ryu actually do and what is the objective evidence, if you will, of what occurred. And so I understand there are practice issues that they don't get into, but as far as the basics of the complaint, they certainly talked to the patient and got her side of the story and determined that it just wasn't something that they felt had occurred and so declined prosecution. But of course, that's just my opinion, not having had the opportunity to read the police report. So.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, we've got a first and a second on the action to take no action. So I'm gonna go ahead and call for the question. Those in favor of taking no action signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed?
I'm opposed.
Okay, one opposed, so three ayes have it, one opposed, and one absent. So the motion carries, and we will not be opening a case for this tab number 8. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the courtesy for me to move up. Thank you very much.
Tim.
And for anybody on the phone, just please, for our record, if you would please just say your name and who you are.
Okay. All right, so the time now is 9:21. We're gonna go back to tab number 1, which is a formal hearing motion to deem with Dr. David Magnin.
And board members, Monique, independent advisor, the Assistant Attorney General, Seamus Monahan, we do have preliminary matters. This is set for motion to deem. Is that understood, Monique?
I do have a preliminary matter as well that perhaps you could speak to. So
yep.
Before the motion to deem was filed, a notice of hearing was sent out. It looks to me like the notice of hearing falls one day short of the required 30 days. Referencing the board's rule, R4-7-302, service by mail is deemed complete 5 days following the day it's deposited. So this notice of hearing was sent out 34 days ago. It was received 29 days ago. So I guess my question is whether you, Mr. Monahan, or any board, or not board, but any staff, have had any communications with Dr. Magnin to see whether he was aware of today's proceeding.
Monique, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. The board statute is actually a 20-day requirement to respond on a motion to deem.
For the record, okay, that's for a motion to deem, but I don't believe a motion to deem would cure a defective notice of hearing. So I guess my question is whether there's been any
communication. The notice of hearing is 20 days under the board statute.
For the record, could you cite to that? I just want to make sure, because it appears that, similar to the other final hearing matter, that this doctor also has been very difficult for the board staff to contact. So I want to make sure that we don't violate any due process requirements by moving forward today.
Yeah, that is 924H.
read what that says. I don't have that in front of me. So I can't reach it.
I do not have the statutes in front of me right now.
I just pulled it up. And I apologize to the board members. This is the point of me being an independent advisor. I'm walled off from having any discussions whatsoever with Mr. Monahan prior to the meeting.
Oh, it's okay. We've got time on our side.
Would you like me to read the
Mr. Monahan, H-24H is in regards to the motion to deem, looking for the service of the notice of hearing.
This board has never used the notice of hearing. They've always used the 924H.
Well, if the notice of hearing had been sent 35 days ago or received 30 days ago, I would agree. But seeing as how it was sent, it was just received 29 days ago, not 30.
Ms. Cody, this is board member Dr. Bennett. Can you provide us with a citing that gives us the 30-day language versus the 20-day language?
Yes, the 30 days would be under Title 42, the Administrative Procedures Act. It is 42-92. D.
I believe you mean 41-1092.
41-1092.05D, which states the agency shall prepare and serve a notice of hearing on all parties at least 30 days before the hearing. And then it goes on what the notice should include. And then I cited to the board's rule that said service is complete 5 days after it was mailing. So that would be the 30 days plus the 5 days. And I'm not seeing that your statutes differ for a notice of hearing. It's true that it's 20 days for motion to deem. So unless there's been any communication with Dr. Magnin, it's certainly at the board's discretion, but my recommendation would be to continue this and renotice it so that the 30-day plus the 5-day is provided to the doctor.
I have a second question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Dr. Bennett.
I'm reading from the statute quoted by Mr. Monahan, and I do not see that language is specific to a motion to deem. It appears to be specific to the process that we are following, but I don't see any and it specifically says a licensee who has been notified of a complaint pursuant to this section shall file with the board a written response no more than 20 days after service of the complaint and notice of the hearing. So what I'm unclear about is whether that, I think that's quite specific, and I don't know how this language does not appear to be specific to a motion to deem. So that's my question, is how do we tie this to the motion to deem as opposed to a standard operating procedure?
That last sentence of Section H of your statute, if the licensee fails to file an answer in writing and he has 20 days to file an answer in writing, it is deemed an admission of the act or acts charged, and the board may take disciplinary action pursuant to this chapter without a hearing. So it's that last sentence of Subsection H. This is a really long.
32. Monique, how do you square the 20 days with the 30-day requirements then? I'm a little confused. If you only have 20 days to answer, then what is the 30-day requirement?
The 20 days appears in the statutes of several boards. That gives enough notice that the state would be preparing for a hearing rather than preparing for a motion to deem. That's the difference between those 10 days. I'm just, if you look at the Administrative Proceedings Act, it's clear that the Board of Chiropractic falls under that 41-1092.05D, unless it's specifically revised in the board statutes, and I'm not seeing anything specific to service of a notice of hearing in the board's specific statutes. I'm just seeing some language specific to motions to deem that appear in almost all of the healthcare board statutes.
Okay, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Considering that the board, that this individual does not have an active license, we filed a motion to deem on the one address that possibly came back in Chicago for him. Moving this to the next month would not detriment the board or the people of Arizona. And the state would just present this motion to deem next month, if that's what you want to do.
Okay, well, let's go ahead. We're not going to meet next month. We're going to meet in June.
It would be the June 1st meeting.
So let's go ahead and agendize this for our June 1st meeting.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, so that concludes the need for a court reporter at this time, I believe.
Yes.
So thanks so much for coming today.
And all your hard work.
And that concludes right. The independent advice matters. So it's nice seeing everybody, and I guess I'll see you again in June.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Cody. So we're going to move on to tab number 3 now, which is initial action on complaints for James P. Garrett. Hi. Welcome. Have a seat. Introduce yourself for the record, please.
My name is James Garrett.
Hi. We'll be with you in just a moment. Can I get a board brief, please?
Yes. The allegations are misleading advertising, practicing on a suspended license, and failure to renew a yearly license. This matter was continued from the March board meeting. At the March board meeting, the board voted to continue the file pending renewal of Dr. Garrett's license. Dr. Garrett now has an active license. And Dr. Garrett has also provided evidence that he changed the physical therapy on his website.
Okay. Thank you for your efforts with that, with the compliance of the physical therapy, physiotherapy language that came over the last 10 years or so. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Garrett at this time? And I understand everything else. In place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he actually submitted his renewal the day of the board meeting, and board staff processed it Monday, March 7th.
Okay. Dr. Garrett, do you have anything to say for yourself at this time?
Not really.
Okay.
So, regrettably, I missed that step
on the renewal
license, which I'll be sure not to do it again.
Okay, so board members, we have 3 allegations: misleading advertising, the practicing on a suspended license, which was a mistake in registration renewal, and then the failure to renew yearly licenses along the same line. So Dr. Garrett went through the normal processes, paid the fee, didn't complete the registration, went on administrative suspension, paid the late fee, and is back in compliance. So does anybody have any concerns with any of the allegations and want to make a motion one way or another?
Chairman, I feel that Dr. Garrett has exercised due diligence in repairing what was the matters that were raised to his attention, and I would move that we issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter notifying him pursuant to 32-924E2 and 32-901 that while there's insufficient evidence to support disciplinary action, the board believes that the continuation of the activities that led to the investigation may result in further board action against the licensee at some time.
Is that related to any specific allegation, the misleading advertising or?
Yes, both.
Okay.
Both. Yes, both.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Okay, we have four ayes for the motion and one absent. So the motion carries. Thank you. We're done today.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to tab number four now. It's Dr. Douglas Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert, are you here?
He will not be here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, before proceeding on this matter, I'd like to bring to the board's attention that yesterday we did receive a consent agreement for voluntary surrender for Dr. Gilbert's license, which was signed, and it was provided in your packet. If you would like to, we could just have a motion to accept the voluntary surrender.
Okay. So, board members, in your digital files, we have a tab called Gilbert Signed Voluntary Surrender. Do you want to take a moment and review that if you have not already? If it came yesterday.
Mr. Chairman, while I'm not giving my fellow board members time to review it, I have reviewed the document, and I would move that we accept the voluntary surrender per the consent agreement proposed.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion?
It looks like it was signed by Kim Korba. Is that?
Yes, it was signed by his wife, and I provided the power of attorney that she has the authority to sign the agreement. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I'll call for the question to accept the surrender of license.
I just didn't want to
say that. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, I heard four ayes in favor, so we will accept the surrender document. And now we will move on to tab number five under initial action, Dr. Wesley Bowman. Dr. Bowman, are you present?
I believe his attorney, Mandy Carvis, is present virtually on Zoom.
Hi, Ms. Carvis. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well. How are you? I believe Dr. Bowman is also present via phone. He may be
okay,
muted.
Dr. Bowman, can you please introduce yourself for the record, Dr. Bowman? Dr. Bowman, if you're there, we can't hear you yet. You need to unmute yourself.
I can see what I believe is his phone number on there. He may just be having a technology issue.
Okay. Can we unmute him on our side? What are the last four digits of the phone number?
I believe it's the 1975. Starts 928.
Okay.
Also, Dr. Guarino. We do have complainants, and they will be calling into the meeting. Ryan is reaching out to them right now. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Arena, while I believe that I want Dr. Bowman to confirm that he is present, as a matter of initial course, I do want to state that I'll primarily be making statements today because there are pending criminal allegations, and as such, Dr. Bowman's criminal counsel has advised him not to make any public statements that could be used against him in criminal proceedings, because the complainants in this matter, at least some of them, are also involved in a criminal matter. So I just wanted to state that.
I believe Dr. Bowman is on via the phone, I believe if he does star six, he should be able to unmute his phone.
Okay, I just did. Can you hear me now?
I can. Please introduce yourself for the recorded record.
Okay, Wesley Bowman.
Okay, thank you. Okay, can I get a board brief, Ms. Vanderveen? Yes.
Investigation allegations are inappropriate physical contact, danger to the health, safety, or welfare, failure to report charges of a misdemeanor or a felony, unprofessional conduct, and sexual improprieties.
Okay.
I apologize. I just wanted to also provide you prior complaint history. In 2019, he is currently under a consent agreement for complaint number 2019-036. He is compliant in the continuing education matters, but he did not pass the EBAS as part of your order.
All right, thank you. So we have three cases here, 2021-017, 2021-022, and 2021-028. Since we have complainants here, we'll go ahead and take them in order. And so is the complainant with the initials SC present?
She said she'd be present in about 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, Ms. Carvis, I'll let you go ahead and make an opening statement if you'd like before we dive into the three cases.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Ruino. I appreciate the opportunity to make a statement. We obviously understand the serious nature of these allegations, but I would remind the board that is what they are. They are allegations. All of these allegations, and while I understand they'll be considered individually, are very remote in time allegations and years back, some even decades back. There has been ongoing criminal matters, multiple trips back and forth to the grand jury. This has lasted for quite a few years. Dr. Bowman obviously vehemently denies any such allegations. He's been a licensed chiropractor in the state of Arizona since 1979, up until the time of the consent agreement in 2019 of 036. No such complaints had ever been lodged against him, certainly not of this serious nature. He has complied with the requirements of the consent agreement in terms of completing continuing education. It was my understanding that the boundaries and ethics exam had been completed. I was not counsel at that time, so I would have to confirm that. But he does remain on probation. He did not seek to terminate that probation in part because of these other pending matters and the ongoing criminal considerations that remain ongoing with these same, with some of these same complaints. I think it's important for the board to be aware that in addition to the things that this board requested and required of him as part of the consent agreement that was entered into back in August of 2019, Dr. Bowman has taken an additional measure of having someone present as a chaperone during any visits with female patients, just to avoid any appearance of impropriety or suggestion of anything inappropriate happening during a visit with a female patient. Again, he fully intends to defend himself against the criminal court allegations. We would request that while those matters are pending, given that there have not been any other allegations made against him before this board, that they are very remote in time, that he remains on probation and has already put in place having a chaperone present for female patients, we believe that the most appropriate result would be to allow these matters to stay pending. While the criminal matter is still pending, leave Dr. Bowman on probation. If the board wants to make the requirement of a female, someone being present as a chaperone for visits with female patients, something formal, he'd be happy to do that. But that is something that has been in place for quite a few years at this point. There are no other complaints. There are no recent complaints. Again, these are all very past, in the very, very remote past. There are some inconsistencies that are going to be pointed out in the criminal matter. Again, while he is subject to criminal charges, he cannot publicly make statements that could be used against him in criminal court upon advice of criminal counsel. Again, we believe that the most appropriate thing for the board to do would be to pend matters 2021-017-022 and 028 while the matter works through the criminal process, leave Dr. Bowman on probation, and allow him to continue to practice under the current circumstances that he has provided, that being that he has someone present whenever he sees female patients. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Garvis. Well, so we land ourselves in this dilemma again. Do we take any action? You know, these are serious allegations, and wait for the criminal, courts to do their thing, which could take who knows how long, or do we take other action and move it to a formal hearing or something along those lines? But my question is, we're in violation of a board order right now with the failure of the EBAS.
Correct.
And I don't have the language right in front of me. I don't know how that order was written. So if we move to formal hearing, we can deal with that at that time. But how soon would we want to go to a formal hearing if we're going to sit around and wait for the other criminal matters to be determined is my dilemma.
And I did hear too. Realize the require that it's not somebody that you know will.
All right, Mr. Monahan, we cannot hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear
me now?
You're
cutting in and out.
Oh, thank you. What I was saying is that you could offer, you could ask if they're willing to amend the agreement to include a memorialize that female chaperone with, you know, the requirement that it's not somebody related or known by Dr. Bowman, and that it's board approved, which would give you some protection and coverage.
Okay. So I want to hear from our complainants since they've joined our meeting, and we're going to start with tab 20-21-017, and the complainant's initials are SC, and I'd like to know if you have anything you'd like to say at this time. I'm going to call out to SC again. It looks like you might be muted. Is it star six?
Star six.
To unmute.
Okay. There we go.
Hi.
Okay, so I don't.
To protect your identity, we're just going to refer to you with initials. Do you have anything you'd like to say at this point?
I believe this is complainant CG. Sorry, I apologize for that.
Yes, this is CG.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Hi, we can hear you. All right, so this is case number 2021-022, board members. So CG, do you have anything you'd like to say at this point?
Well, I'm surprised that they are saying, you know, that it's because it's so long ago or something that it shouldn't be as serious as it is or whatever. My case was many years ago. I was very young. I hurt my back when I was 26 years old and started going to him the next few years or so. Are you wanting the details of what happened right now, or do you have questions, or? I'm actually shocked that they're asking for him to still be practicing myself, to be honest.
We've read the board materials that say that he penetrated you with his thumbs and his fingers, and he cupped your breasts. And so we've got that detail, and you allege that that's true, correct?
Oh, yes. He started, I always thought it was strange that he would have women take their shirt and their bras off. That just didn't make sense. It's not necessary, and no other chiropractor has ever done that. I'm sorry. So that alone had shocked me to begin with, but it was the first time I had ever been to a chiropractor, so I didn't know. I was young, like I said. And so the breast thing happened several times off and on over the course of a few years, and I just, again, didn't know how, chiropractors did things. But the time that he asked me to open my pants and then was completely inside my panties and did what he did, that was the very last time I went to him. I never talked to the police about it or anything because I was very worried about what my husband was going to do. And he worked over here for Salt River Project, and I just didn't want people to know. I didn't want him to have to deal with that at work and all of that. And I was young and stupid to not report it, I guess. But when I had heard about these other people, I thought, man, this guy is still doing it. He should not be able to get away with this. So that's why I got involved.
All right. This is Dr. Guarino, the chairman of the board, and I thank you for your testimony. It's very helpful. Board members, do you have any specific questions for patient complainant CG at this time? Okay. All right. Do we have the complainant with the initial CW present? No. And then SC?
I'm
SC is present. Oh. Yes.
Sir, this is CG again. Yes. Do you need me to stay on the phone for the rest of this, or is my testimony done now? I have a three-month-old grandbaby crying, and if they can mute me, that's fine. I'll keep listening in case you need to talk to me again. Or
I think we're good for now, but thank you very much for your testimony.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, so patient S, C as in cat, are you there to talk to us? Calling out to SC again.
SC is here.
Okay, hi, this is Dr. Guarino, chairman of the board. Do you have anything that you would like to say at this point before the board decides to take some action?
I just feel the same. I mean, it was a trigger when I read the article that he had been caught, because I was really young in junior high school, and I didn't like taking off underclothing under a gown. It was very uncomfortable. And that was pretty much my first time going to a chiropractor. And, you know, my mom was a huge believer in chiropractors, so she just sat out in the waiting room, and after several times of like inappropriate, like getting too close to, you know, parts that I've been told were private, I just finally was like, Mom, I want you to come in there with me. So I don't know. I feel like he shouldn't be practicing anymore. It doesn't matter how many years ago it did happen, and it happened to more than one person. I wasn't touched like the other lady spoke, but very close. Like, you know, when I go in there to be adjusted for a foot problem, but he's sticking his hand right on my pubic area to adjust is a little weird. I've since had very good experiences at chiropractors who don't make you wear a gown, who don't touch you in inappropriate places. So thankfully, I have found good chiropractor since.
Okay. Board members, any questions for complaining SC? Okay. All right. This is Dr. Guarino again. Thank you for your testimony. And so board members, what's your pleasure at this point? You know, this is at an initial action phase. You know, we could move it to formal hearing where we would potentially take disciplinary action. Then it'll be up to staff to agendize that in the, with the proper time frame to make that work, maybe in sync with the criminal component to this or not.
One point of clarification is that Dr. Bowman did not notify the board in regards to the felony charges. He still has not provided notice of those charges. So that is not part of that. And he did not take the EBAS the second time after he failed or provide notice of those be violations of the board order, if that's where you would like to maybe start your conversation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may, the I appreciate Ms. Carvis's argument. However, I do not concur that 2017 is remote in time. And now we have what appears to be a pattern of threat or purported threat, alleged threat of 14 different charges over a very long period of time. We have an order to take and pass the EBAS test, which is an instrument that is used to detect risk. The instrument detected risk, and the Dr. Bowman not only failed to report but failed to pass it and then failed to advise us with regard to the status of that. I take this seriously, and I am concerned that he's even practicing at this point. And so I'm interested in exploring what options we have before us, because I have enough concern that this is an ongoing threat that I feel that we're responsible to explore it further.
Mr. Monahan.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. The board, because of the way that we had scheduled things, the board moved this to a hearing. It was held in June. On compliance issue, it was a hard.
And it could be appropriate at that time to do a summary suspension or other action at that time.
At that time, you could make your whatever you decide to do at that meeting.
That said, I would move that we move forward to a formal interview.
Formal hearing.
Sorry, I keep getting those confused. I apologize. Formal hearing.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
That motion based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations.
Exactly.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to call for the question to move to formal hearing. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay. We have four ayes that have it. And that concludes the matter for today. We'll move it to formal hearing.
Thank you, Dr.
Ms. Carvis.
Have a great day.
And thank you to the complainants for testifying today. The time is 9:57. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we will be back. Reset. Okay, it's 10:08. We're back in open session, and we are on tab number 6, which is a matter of Dr. Karen Pedersen. Mr. Carey, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Vanderveen, do you have a board brief for us?
Well, this matter is one that was agendized as previously before the board. We have received the completed reinstatement packet from Dr. Pedersen, which included the additional licensure verifications that we were awaiting and payment for the reinstatement application, as well as we have some communication from her attorney that I wanted you all to review, and then we could have discussion.
Okay. So we have our board materials. Do we have something new?
No, other than the letter from Mr. Carey, That would be the only other item. And then
if the board would like to go into executive session to discuss, we can do that. If you have other questions for me, you know, absolutely.
Okay, let's start. Let's let Mr. Carey make his statement. If you can be brief, we read the materials that you've submitted already.
Thank you, Dr. Guarino, members of the board, Flynn Carey, counsel for Dr. Peterson. I think the letter that I sent speaks for itself. There is a case recently that came out against the accountancy board, and we do have it appears to imply that we have a duty to be reasonable and attempt to reach settlement. That's my style anyway. And so the letter was really prepared for Mr. Monahan so that he could have a little bit more of a roadmap as to how we perceive this matter, how it could proceed. We want to work with the board to try to reach a resolution. I would suggest that the board consider and grant reinstatement as she has satisfied the requirements for reinstatement. And then as she is still not practicing at this time, I do believe you know, this would be a case where you could entertain or create a new probation agreement that would hold her accountable, but at the same time allow this matter to be resolved. It's obviously very procedurally complex. And we want to try to cut through some of those complexities. And so, you know, obviously the formality of the letter I sent in February is not, you know, is meant to be able to give talking points and a guide. I think that is how I perceive the matter would proceed. It would always be our preference to find a way to resolve this. And so we have, you know, simultaneously offered up the reinstatement and met the requirements for that, while simultaneously attempting to continue the dialogue of reaching a resolution here. And I know there's been a lot of personnel changes as well, so I know sometimes that's another opportunity for board staff and board members to meet and confer through the executive session process as well and make some decisions afterwards as to how this might be resolved.
Okay, thank you. Is there a move to executive session to get legal counsel?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, we've got a first by Bennett, second by Knopf. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, the time is 10:11. We're going to move into executive session. You can stay right here. We'll go to another room.
Thank you.
Okay, the time is 10:25, and we are back in open session. Mr. Turbinson, you can hear us?
I can.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, board members, what's your pleasure? Does anybody want to make a motion or discuss?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would begin by making the motion that we rescind the motion to go to hearing as identified in complaint number 2022-015.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. I'll call for the question. Those in favor of rescinding the motion to formal hearing, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Okay. So we have four ayes that have it. Okay. So now, what's the next motion?
So, Mr. Chairman, are we now at a point where we're back to considering reinstatement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by way of comment before making a motion, R47-503-K, subparagraph 2, specifically identifies as an issue for relicensure that there is ongoing disciplinary probationary period active for a board, a regulatory board, that being in this case the nursing board. And so for that reason, I would move that we not reinstate this license and serve notice of liability to respond based upon rule 47-503-K subparagraph 2.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, board members, any further discussion?
Am I given an opportunity to comment on that at all?
We're in the middle of a motion right now.
Very well.
Okay. All All right, so I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, so we had four ayes to deny reinstatement.
But there may be grounds to deny.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Carey, you have something you'd like to say?
Possibly. May I speak to Mr. Monahan briefly? Is this going to be renoticed then for June under a different subsection?
Yeah.
Okay. And are we renoticing it as a what would be the procedural posture?
It'd be review, discussion, possible action.
Regarding a reinstatement?
Regarding reinstatement.
Okay. That's the procedural question I had as to this. I would note, and I can certainly respond in more detail if I'm given an opportunity to prepare a written product for the board's consideration. I would note that your statute under 32.923D actually sets forth the bases upon which you may reinstate. It does not include the subsection K requirement of existence or non-existence of professional disciplinary licensure issues. Also, on the 25-day mark, when we're supposed to be given notice of an issue with reinstatement or renewal, was on November 22nd. The only notices we were given was in relation to a deficiency of providing certain materials to the board. There was no notice given to us about other discipline. And so the board actually has already missed its 25-day deadline under subsection M. So if it were to go forward and deny licensure, it would both be acting outside of its statutory authority, and secondary, it would also be acting outside of the due process deadlines that are set under sub M for the regulation. And so there are some pretty serious pitfalls here. I will certainly brief that for the board's consideration, but she has met the requirements for reinstatement. I would invite the board to consider instructing or offering to the executive director and Mr. Monahan an opportunity to meet with counsel and see if we can work out a resolution that would involve reinstatement, placing her back on probation, once again, to shortcut the hearing process.
Thank you. Okay, so this concludes tab number 6, and we will go on to tab number 7 for whether to open with Dr. Billy Barefoot. Can I get a board brief?
When investigating complaints 2022-20026 and 027, board staff requested the Mesa Department send any police reports it had for Dr. Billy Barefoot. Mesa PD provided an incident report that was filed on 6-9 of 2015. In the report, the patient claimed that they were sexually assaulted during an appointment at Dr. Barefoot's clinic. They saw Dr. Barefoot on 3 dates, and they were offered alcohol and the opportunity to have an affair, but there was no actual touching or physical contact. On the last appointment, on 6-8 of 2015, the patient reported at the end of the appointment, Dr. Barefoot offered her a homemade beer that was made by one of his associates. He stated, "Do you like beer?" And she replied, "Yes." Dr. Barefoot explained that it was blackberry wheat combination and asked her to try it. And she did try the beer. He then proceeded to ask her if she'd ever seen 50 Shades of Grey. The patient replied that she had seen it, and Dr. Barefoot then replied that it reminded him of the scene in the movie where wine was poured out on the character, in which the patient replied something to the effect of, "We're not doing that." To which Dr. Barefoot replied, "Yeah, I'd get in trouble," and followed up with, "Well, you don't get in trouble if you don't get caught." The patient was silent and didn't know how to reply and alleges that Dr. Barefoot said, "This can be our secret," to which she replied, "The beer or the thoughts he had." She then alleges that he stated both. She did not go back to the clinic and has had not heard anything else from Dr. Barefoot. She did state that she filed the police report in case there was retaliation to a rant that her husband posted on Facebook.
Okay, and Dr. Barefoot is not present today?
No, Dr. Barefoot is Yeah, this is Sarah Stark. I'm counsel for Dr. Barefoot. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you, Ms. Stark. Go ahead.
So thank you, Dr. Guarino, and good morning, members of the board. Because this is just a weather to open, I'm here primarily to observe, but I did want to note a couple of procedural matters for the record. The board is limited in the allegations it can consider and investigate due to the passage of time pursuant to ARS 32-3224, which provides a four-year statute of limitations. And I know there are some exceptions to that, but I just wanted to note that for the record. And two, Dr. Barefoot was never charged with anything in connection with this report, so there would not have been any duty to report charges to the board pursuant to ARS 32-3208. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Noted. So with any sexual assault type cases, we don't have a four-year statute of limitations on that. So board members, what's your pleasure? Do you want to open up a complaint in this case and investigate this further?
Mr. Chairman, are we not, are there not other open complaints related to these matters with regard to Dr. Barefoot?
There are.
Dr. Barefoot has many.
He is currently also under a probation order, and he has requested release from that probation order.
My question is, do we have any other open investigations with regard to?
We do have two other initial actions that are scheduled to come before you next month in June.
Okay. Would it be expeditious to, I guess we would open this one, and then when they came up, we would combine them with this. We can't combine them with investigations we haven't opened yet, were we to do so. So I would.
No, the other ones are initial actions, so they are already open complaints.
So they are. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we do have the option at this time to combine.
Yes.
So that being the case, I would move that we open and combine these investigations with the other two open allegations as well.
Okay. Is that timely because of the timeline of what we have to do to investigate a case like this? Is it possible to bring it forward that quickly, or what? How does that work?
We should. Because the other complaints were already open and we were already in process of investigating, we would just, this came out as the course of that investigation,
right,
as part of that investigation.
So your question is,
is we're currently,
that gives staff time.
Yes, staff is currently actively working this matter.
Okay.
With the goal to have it and be able to present it to you in June.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion.
Okay.
I do see that it says in there that there's exception that gets us out of 4 years. That would be the question for you, is whether
okay. All right. So we have a first and a second for discussion. Dr. Knopf.
I just wanted to hear Seamus's comments.
Okay. All right. I'll call for the question. Those in favor of opening a complaint signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, we'll open this complaining. It'll be combined with the others. So thank you, Ms. Stark.
Thank you.
Okay. On to tab number 9. Which is a lab license of Dr. Scott Johnson. Consent agreement?
Yes. You have before you a voluntary surrender. Oh, wait, what? Order for probation. This, I'm not sure why it was marked as an order for probation. It is a voluntary surrender of license. Sure, this license is, Dr. Johnson is not actively practicing and his license is lapsed, but this is a voluntary surrender of licensure.
Okay, and it's dated and signed March 30th, 2022.
Yes.
So it's up to the board to adopt the surrender?
Yes, that's weird.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt to the offer to surrender license from Dr. Johnson.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. Four ayes in favor. So the motion passes. And on to tab number 10, Dr. John Marino for licensure. And I saw Dr. Marino earlier. I think you're unmuting. There you are in San Francisco, maybe.
Oh, here in Arizona.
Okay. Can I get a brief?
Yes. Dr. Marino has applied for licensure by examination back in he was originally licensed back in January of 2015. In 2017, his license lapsed. When we queried the National Practitioners Data Bank, the report noted that there were two instances of medical malpractices that were reported by Princeton Insurance Company, one for improper performance of treatment / procedures. The second instance occurred on 7-3 of 1998 and was reported as treatment as improper performance of treatment / procedures. He has been previously licensed in two other jurisdictions as a chiropractic physician in the state of New Jersey, as well as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and neither state shows any disciplinary action.
Thank you. Dr. Marino, do you have anything you'd like to say for yourself before I ask my board members if they have any questions for you?
Not at this time. I'll be happy to entertain the questions. Questions, Chair.
Okay. Board members, any questions?
Dr. Marino, this is Dr. Bennett. Would you care to just kind of briefly describe the circumstances around these events that we're looking at?
Let's see. The first one was a happened during the 90s, and the patients had apparently suffered an injury, and he was experiencing numbness, a severe numbness, and down the arms, and I'm having to recall here because it's been quite some time ago. And he came in with his girlfriend, who wasn't a patient of mine. He was a referral from his doctor. A colleague of mine was out of town, and I agreed to take him. You know, my name was on his call list for any of his patients that needed to see a doctor. So this guy came in, and there were no instances that he told me at the time of any injury or anything else. That came out after the fact. But what apparently had happened was that, in the long and short of it, he was showing off to his girlfriend and was trying to bench some weight that he hadn't done for 15 years, and he ruptured a cervical disc. So when he came in with intelligent position, and what had happened was the incident really actually occurred from doing essentially with orthopedic procedures, and actually not orthopedic procedures, but just the range of motion. And he started experiencing numbness in the legs, difficulty breathing. I immediately called the 911. And what had happened was when I straightened his neck while he was on the table, and I simply replaced the neck and supported it with a towel back in the original position. By the time they got there, he reverted back to the original symptoms that he came in with. So, we did settle out of court. By recommendation of my attorney, Princeton was getting out of the field of malpractice insurance, and apparently were trying to close out all their cases. I found that out after the fact, but anyway, that's the extent of it. And then the other case was I had requested that the insurance company pay something to these folks that had come in. There actually were friends of mine, and she had a injury to her shoulder that I exacerbated through shoulder work. So, and that was about the same time. So anyway, that was it.
Thank you. And just by way of discussion, my reading of the of our statute says that it requires that there either be an adverse disciplinary action taken, or in another section of language, there was has to have been some sanction. Do we have any evidence of that actually either disciplinary action or some sanction has occurred?
We do not.
Okay.
That would that have been would that not have been under the under the Pennsylvania statutes, because that's when it occurred. They didn't require any of that, and it was, you know, this was investigated and everything. So and that was a closed matter years before I came out here.
Yeah, I believe that whether or not an investigation happened is not necessarily relevant. The question is whether there was disciplinary action or a sanction. And I don't believe that we have any evidence that either of those occurred, and so I don't see any basis upon which to deny licensure.
Okay. Any other questions for Dr. Marino? Okay. Is there a motion to grant or otherwise?
I move that we grant licensure with contingent upon appropriate fees being paid.
I'll second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay. Four ayes. They will be licensed in Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you, board members. I appreciate it.
Okay. We're going to move on to tab number 11, which is Dr. Chad Martin. Hi, Dr. Martin. I see you there in our virtual audience.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Can I get a board brief?
Yes. Dr. Martin has submitted an application for licensure by endorsement. One of the requirements for licensure by endorsement is that the application has not had any formal discipline taken against the license. Dr. Martin has two informal dispositions, but no formal dispositions. And then the applicant did present satisfactory proof to the board that a professional license is of the applicant is issued by any other state jurisdiction, has not been sanctioned for any cause, and that may be the basis of sanction imposed by the board pursuant to the chapter and to pay the fees. So in regards to that, we just wanted to provide this to you for you to make the decision instead of board staff, but we have.
Okay, board members, any questions for Dr. Martin?
Not for Dr. Martin. If I'm reading this right, the idea is with two informal dispositions, do we believe that that's disciplinary action or not? It's just vernacular right
Correct.
Now between boards. Yeah.
Yep.
Dr. Martin, do you have a question? Do you recall what the two incidences were with the state board?
Yes, I do. One was for artifacts on on x-rays. There were a few x-rays that had artifacts present on them. I didn't personally take the x-rays. My associate at the time did. And this was back in the days of, you know, film and developer, you know, a dark room and all that. And he was lazy. If the x-ray didn't come out properly, he probably didn't retake it. So I got a informal disposition on that. They didn't seem to care that I wasn't the one that took the x-ray. The other one resulted from, I had a disagreement with a claims manager for what we call labor and industries in Washington State. I was rather strongly advocating for a patient who was pretty severely injured. The claims manager didn't really like what I had to say and made a complaint, which was also subsequently given an informal disposition.
That's all the questions I have. Thanks.
Dr. Martin, hi, this is Dr. Bennett. Are you currently practicing? Have you been practicing in practice?
Yes, I am. I've been practicing in Washington State for about 30 years.
Okay, excellent. Have you had my I'll share my concern with you. we see that in 2007 there were some issues, I think, relative to your documentation as well as the imaging, and then we see 2014, 7 years later, kind of the same thing in terms of documentation and billing concerns. So that's the period of 7 years, and I'm a little bit, you know, two data points make a crummy trend, but it's still a trend. And so my question here is, have you in recent years had any audits done of your records?
The last time that they looked at any of my records was back, I believe it was 20, after that second complaint, they audited my records a couple of different times and they found them to be okay.
So that would have been somewhere around what year?
I'd say maybe 2015, well, 2016, maybe 2017.
Okay. And have you, when was the last time you did anything in terms of documentation CEs?
I did some documentation CEs. It would have been maybe 2 years ago.
Okay. And that was in the state of Washington?
That's correct. It's all through the mail now. Because of COVID, they didn't have any classes that you could actually attend in person.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Okay. Is there a move to grant or otherwise?
I want to consider options. I know that we have the ability to grant with certain contingencies.
Okay.
And I'm concerned about the fact that there was a trend here. I also am concerned because documentation is a moving target. It's something that we have concerns about. There are changes in it. And I would want to feel comfortable that we weren't, that we were doing exercising due diligence relative to that. And so I'm wondering what our options are with regard to granting with a contingency that a non-disciplinary educational advisory letter as a contingency might be considered.
We do have non-disciplinary CE we can order
mm-hmm.
within a certain time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And can we grant with that, with the contingency of Dr. Martin, you've heard my concerns. Would you be willing to sign a consent agreement where if we requested like 6 hours of documentation on continuing education as a contingency of licensure?
Absolutely.
Okay. That said, I would move that we move to or vote to grant a licensure with a consent agreement, non-disciplinary advisory, but required requirement of 6 hours of continuing education completed within the next 6 months, and that all appropriate fees be paid.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay, I'll call for the question, the grant with the advisory letter and consent agreement. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, congratulations, Dr. Martin. The motion passed, and you'll be contacted by board staff with the instructions how to comply with that consent agreement, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, next tab, Dr. Shipatovsky. Come on up. Have a seat. Say hello. Introduce yourself.
Dr. David Shipatovsky.
Hi. Then, Ms. Vanderveen, can we get a brief?
Yes. Dr. Shipakovsky has submitted an application for licensure by examination. He answered yes to question 30 and question 36. Those are provided in your packet. He answered yes to question 36 due to being arrested and charged with a felony assault. The only court document we were able to receive to show the date of the charge and the disposition of the case. The court was not able to send us a letter stating that they no longer had the court records. Both the FBI background check results and the court documentation show that Dr. Shipakovsky was found guilty of a misdemeanor for offensive touching August 5th of 1983. And the reason it's before you is because we could not get that primary source from the court documents. for this matter.
Okay. So do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I can give you a little brief history going back to my initial licensure here back in 1996. This came up. The board was provided with the appropriate documentation. I don't know if you still have it in paper or in microfiche. I was granted my license. I was here for 20 years, practiced without any disciplinary action. In 2016, I closed down my practice as well as my personal training school that I had here, which was licensed by the State Board of Private Post-Secondary Education, in order to move to Florida to help my dad, who was aging and he was on his way out. So while in Florida, I applied for license, got licensed there, had to go through the same hoops as here. They were provided with a record from the court, which was satisfactory to them. I do have it here if you'd like to see it. Since my relicensure here in Arizona and submitting all the necessary paperwork, I've been on a email list with, let me just get her name, DeWanda Hubbard, the family court record supervisor, to get the board the necessary paperwork. And as stated, nothing has been able to be provided. I do have a bunch of emails from her and her supervisor stating that they have no access to those records anymore. For the 20 years that I was practicing here, in addition to the 5 years in Florida, I've had no disciplinary action, no additional charges. This happened, as you stated, in 1983. I've also submitted, which I don't know if the board has gotten yet, from the Delaware State Police, a record stating the charges and the misdemeanor. So that's where we're at now. So I've since moved back to Arizona because Florida was not my cup of tea, therefore reapplying for the license and having to go through all this, which is going to be well worth it.
So we're talking about almost 40 years ago. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Shiptowski? I want to make a motion.
I move that we grant licensure with contingent upon fees paid. Contingent upon all appropriate fees paid.
Oh, absolutely. No problem.
I'll second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We have four ayes that just granted you a license. Welcome back.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Quick question. When is that license official or active? Or
most likely either today or tomorrow we'll be able to issue it.
Started jumping.
So, yep.
There's nobody in the hallway, right?
No. Table out in the parking lot.
Got 20 years of patience waiting for him in the parking lot.
Yes. We will do our best to try to do that today.
Just out of curiosity, is it going to be the same license number that I previously had or
a new? No, you'll get a new license number.
Okay, just so I can re-get all my paperwork established.
You'll be part of the 8000 series?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was the 5200 series.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to board meeting minutes, tab number 13. This is for March 4th, 2022. And pull it up.
Chairman, as I was not in attendance at that meeting, I will recuse myself from the vote associated with approving these minutes.
Okay. Okay, I am looking at page one.
Page one, what looks like line 25, where it has Dr. Guarino. I don't know if there's a space in there. It just looked a little funky. I know that's super.
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I printed them. We're good.
Okay. And then, so it says after review and discussion, those last three sentences are repeated in the next page.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Page two. Page three of 12. Four of 12. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Page 10.
Page 10, believe Dr. Greeno spelled incorrectly. Line three? What's line three?
Page 11, yep.
Oh, sorry.
Is that page 11?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yep.
And page 12. Okay. Is there a move to approve as amended?
A move to approve as amended.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We have three ayes that had it. And now onward to the Executive Director's Report, tab 14.
All right. I just wanted to provide you all with an update of everything that's been occurring in the office since February 1st. I would say staff has been very busy and we've had a lot of changes. First up, we identified, analyzed, and prepared a report of all complaints from 2018 to current in order to be able to submit that documentation to the legislature for part of the request for the continuation for the chiropractic board, which was accepted, and then that bill was passed. So we have received additional 8 years in our sunset. That was great news. We also addressed a budget shortfall of about $25,000 due to staff departures. And the way we recouped those funds was we restructured the office staff. We updated all of the job descriptions and then reallocated kind of work between the two positions. And I really want to highlight that we, in reallocating those positions, we went from a part-time investigator that was really operating at the level and the pay of an administrative assistant to a full-time investigator to be comparable to other boards and actually get the type of resource we need to address these matters and be more timely. Additionally, within that, we set aside $10,000 to cover the cost of moving over to Sentia, which will be the cloud-based database that we'll go to, which will replace the Access database that is actually not going to be supported by Microsoft in the next year. And so that's a huge, huge win. And I believe that actually moving to this while there's a cost to it is going to save the board staff time. And as well, I think it will address a lot of these issues that I know that you feel the pain of, like the disconnect between the application and the payment for renewals, that those will become seamless processes that will be managed in a cloud-like portal environment. So kind of moving us into the 21st century. And so then I just wanted to talk a little bit about the staff. Ryan, as you know, was our licensing manager. He's been promoted up to the full-time investigation position. And part of the reason we made that decision, he was already investigating the licensing issues that come before you and researching those police reports. Additionally, he's completed paralegal training, which has been just a really great asset in putting the reports together and making sure we have allegations that match up with your violations and statute, and that he's working closely with Seamus to train and hone those investigative skills. Connie is our new licensing and operations coordinator, so included not just covering licensing, but helping provide support in some ways what the deputy director was covering, those operational functions of the board, IT, website, invoice and financing. So that that job has expanded from what it was prior. So it's a little bit wider, and I'm excited to have her on the team. She brings a great wealth of experience, really understanding more what this role needs to be from her previous history. And then Larry is our new administrative assistant, and he's taking care of continuing education. And I'm really excited that between Connie and Larry, we were able to address, I think you were probably all aware, we had a pretty significant backlog of continuing education that kind of came in the same time as renewals. And so then when staff is so swamped with all of those things, that those kind of got set to the side. We are completely caught up with those continuing education credits. All those certificates have been issued. We had about 74 that we had to get through. We addressed those. We have 51 that were complete, 23 that are in a pending, meaning whatever their packet they submitted did not include like the necessary information, like maybe a reference letter or verifications, but all of those letters have been sent out. But since then, we've gotten another 51 applications that we are currently processing.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Of course.
All great news, by the way.
Thank you.
The name of the cloud-based system that we'll be?
It's set, Cynthia.
Cynthia?
Cynthia.
Okay,
T-H.
Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
So I'm point of curiosity, because when we've addressed this issue in the past, part of the problem has been what you just alluded to, and that is that we have all this CE stuff coming in at the same time that all renewals mm-hmm. are happening. With the new system, will we be able to contemplate more periodic licensure periods throughout the year, and is that still being explored?
Yes.
Good.
Thanks. Yes, that is still being explored.
Good.
So this will be probably part of the first step in that process. But again, part of what takes us so long is, I would say, it's hunt and peck, right? Like, I have to review your PDF application. I have to pull it up in the Access database. I have to go to this database to find your payment. Like, this, all of this will come together. So, and this has been directed by the governor's office. So they are providing in FY23, so starting in July, they will are providing the funding for the database, because they're moving all of the state health boards over to it as one of their requirements.
How does that impact our budget if we are ahead of that curve? Or are
so we- this year, we'll cover this year's cost, and then next year's will be covered.
Okay.
So it was, but the option was if we waited, we would be onboarding the database at the same time we'd be renewing licenses.
Yeah.
We've been working to develop a long-term IT strategic plan to more efficiently use staff time and board resources. Part of that is the Cetnia, and so we're having to do database cleanup on the back end, which since 2019, we have not been logging the complaints and then your subsequent disciplinary actions into the database. So all of that is currently living in paper files. So we are going back through and entering that data into the database so that when we migrate over to Cynthia, all of that data will move over and will be searchable in that electronic format. Also, we are doing kind of a minute audit of all of your actions for the last year, just confirming that whatever action you took, we can marry up to a board order, and that board order or CE issue was absolutely issued. Also, business entity renewal applications have been sent out. We moved that to a complete electronic format and also created a electronic payment portal. So businesses had the opportunity to either pay by credit card or could pay by check. But my goal is really to try to reduce the risk that the board is at in regards to checks. We are receiving a number of checks that are for $500 or $600 that when we go to cash them, their account is closed. And so that puts delay in being able to issue the license because we have to get another check. And so there's just a lot of exposure there in terms of our finances. So really trying to move everybody to that electronic credit card-based option. Let's see, in terms of cases, we've worked to reprioritize the number of high-profile red files. We have about 17 that we still need to get through. I was really hoping we were going to be able to close out two today, but that didn't happen. But we did get those two voluntary surrenders, which that closes out four, plus Abel Hosen and Matera coming off the list. We are tracking all of your actions now in a better process to make sure that we're bringing these matters back to you as timely as possible. So being Seamus and Ryan and I are being very strategic in how we're putting these conversations together and kind of laying that chessboard out for you for the best maneuvers possible and then staying on top of the subsequent actions that come after that. We processed all of the renewal applications prior to the statutory deadline and issued the administrative suspension notice. I completed CLEAR board investigator training. Ryan is currently just completed investigating sexual misconduct, which seems to be timely. And he's also scheduled to complete the basic and advanced CLEAR training. I worked with the team to create a flexible telework schedule, so everybody in the office gets 2 days to work from home, 3 days in the office, and then everyone's in the office on Wednesday for staff meetings and that type of coverage. And then that also helps us comply with the governor's telework initiative as well as the Capital Rideshare program because all of our staff carpool. So, and then we're also developing standard order of work, which is basically policies and procedures for every job function, so that as we transition staff or you have a different executive director, that information is all documented and we're not experiencing the loss of knowledge that we have been experiencing currently. Let's see, we also took the step to reduce some of our required fees. We removed the subscription fee for the minutes and the agenda and the audio, and we're just posting those on the website. So that gives the appearance to the governor's office that we are doing our part to reduce and eliminate those fees when possible. So that is the majority of what we've kind of accomplished in the last couple of months. Thank you. And then I also provided in your packet, if we need to go over any of it, just all of the actions from the last two meetings. So it would have been the February 25th formal hearings and then the March board meeting. All of the actions that you assigned us, I wanted you to have confidence that those were completed. And if you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. You like your copy?
Will the FETNIA database include that too? Okay.
Yes. So the great thing about the database is it's not just licensing. It does complaints. It does board minutes. It does all of that. They specialize in health boards and all licensing types of boards. That's what they do. That's kind of the niche they've honed into. I'm really excited about going to the meeting in May to meet with the executive director from Oklahoma. They went to CENTIA in the middle of COVID, and they got them up and running in 4 months, and it was their first chiropractic board. So I'm really interested to hear in that regard and her kind of her feedback on that. But a lot of positive feedback on that transition. So. The one thing they really highlight is it's very customizable and they're able to really kind of draft it to what our needs are and where our specialties fall, which is not what we experienced with the e-licensing platform.
You have also provided us with some fact sheets on various legislative initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to talk about those now? We can talk about those if you'd like.
I just have a question about SB 1568, Health Professionals Complaints Investigation.
Correct.
And in reading through that, I see that the language contemplates and addresses alternative non-disciplinary pathways for certain populations as determined by the board. And this has actually been a conversation that came up with at the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards as something that's being pursued nationally and in conjunction with other provider boards. And so in May, while in attendance and networking with other regulatory board administrators, I would encourage you to kind of compare notes and see, and maybe, I just want to ping that on our radar screen as something that we should contemplate. It's likely that this legislation will pass, and we would want to be we would want to be kind of thinking about that as we anticipate that.
Yes, And I've been working with a group of executive directors as we've kind of provided some input and feedback on this bill. We just received a request from the governor's office, OSPB, regarding what they felt we would need in terms of financial support in order to implement the program, plus be able to meet the compliance portion of the 180 days. I've asked for two additional staff members to help us assist with that, with the anticipation we would need another like part-time investigator, but probably really someone to more hone in on that monitoring and compliance portion. And then just another admin, because if you consider your agendas become significantly heavier and just pushing up those notices and those types of things, that we would probably need some additional staff to address that.
So without going too far into the weeds on this particular subject, does it lend itself to maybe there being a universal compliance pool where various boards would do their due diligence and then have a common compliance, or is that all going to be delegated to the individual board?
It would all be delegated to the individual board. The one point of discussion that we've asked for is potentially in regards to the program, the substance abuse and alcohol, that confidential program, is that we would potentially either be able to allow to contract out to create that or to contract with another board who already has the program to utilize them as a resource as opposed to us managing it.
To me, just again, we'll get out of the weeds in a second, but it just makes more sense if we've got a substance abuse issue, why is the Board of Chiropractic monitoring a substance abuse issue?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it makes more sense as a regulatory body to identify it, use that pathway, and then give that to substance abuse
mm-hmm.
people who deal with that issue.
Yes.
So for what it's worth.
Yes, and more so the way I envision it is we would be doing it that way, and that would be on the cost of the licensee, but in terms of monitoring and compliance to ensure that they are complying with the direction the board's provided is more so the compliance that like we're referring to.
Sure.
Is just that. And monitoring, I think the experience that you're all experiencing right now is that we haven't been monitoring compliance, and that's how we've ended up in some of these situations, is that we need to have someone that has good eyes on that who can say, okay, it's been 90 days. We didn't get these CEs back. These need to come right back because your orders have no teeth if we're not going to enforce them.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. I did mention that SB 1601, which was the chiropractic board continuation, that was signed by the governor, so we got our 8 years. So thank you, Dr. Bennett. I know you did some hard work on that. And then
as did Dr. Guarino.
As Dr. Guarino, yes. Yeah.
A little bit.
It was a group effort. We crunched some numbers, and we got there. So Dr. Bennett, I think you probably know more about the status of the access bill, which was SB 1077, than I do.
Yeah, very quick report. Knock on wood. it is through the House. It is through the Senate. Well, it's through the Senate, then it's through the House. It is pending in the budget. I literally this morning had a dialogue with the president, the Senate president, Senator Fan, on this subject, and if we, the only issue that we may have at this point is if the legislature can't decide in the next 2 months how to spend our budget excess. So we'll be in the ironic position of them adopting a skinny budget because we have too much money, and then debating how it's going to be spent. And if that's the case, our bill will go into that same suspension. But I have reason to believe that that's a conclusion that nobody wants to arrive at. And so we hope that there will be a settlement of that debate of how to spend that excess, and that we believe that we have confidence that being the case, we should get this bill passed.
All right. Licensure update. Since the last board meeting, we've issued 21 licenses. We have 31 that are pending, and since the last board meeting, we've received 15 new applications. And that information's in your packets. I provided a case status And the one thing I want to highlight is in terms of cases that are over 180 days, when we start talking about potentially if we don't close these, they're going to get closed for us if this bill passes, we have 64 cases that are over the 180 days. And I kind of balanced everything out. If you have questions, I'm happy to entertain those questions.
Just really happy that you've identified these. This has been an issue that Dr. Guarino and I have been in dialogue with for quite some time.
Okay. I did provide you the board's most recent financials. Were there any questions on those? It's going to be tight. I just can't tell you that right now.
Now, you had mentioned that we did figure out a way to address the shortfall.
We did. So we're funded for five positions, and we're operating with four. And we'd continue operating with four positions unless we receive the additional two positions. So I forgot to mention that I did raise staff salaries, so they are more competitive. So the goal is we're going to pay better to hire better so that we have better staff with some and also built in some plan for longevity. And so maintaining staff as opposed to really being the victim of high turnover. The monitors don't work, but if you will go check out our website, we have a brand new, beautiful website. So there are some additional changes coming to that. We've worked to update all of the forms. So all of the licensing form, all of those forms, I think if you've looked at them, they still have Justin's name on a lot of the documents. Like, we've cleaned all of those up to reflect the most current information, making sure we have the right governor on the form, all of that. So then they also have a nice, clean, cohesive look where they look similar. So I think the board will look very polished and professional out there in that public environment.
So how does that work? We host our own website, and we have access to it and can post and change anytime we want. Does anybody, any other group have access to that?
It's just board staff. Okay. But the state has moved to what's called on the back end is Drupal 9. It's the newest iteration of the platform that the website is hosted on. And then additionally, all of the state websites are going to look in this same format. So it's just kind of the latest iteration. So we're kind of the first domino of several that will start moving to this new statewide look and format it in the same way so that when people come to our website and then maybe leave it and go to the governor's website, things are still in the same place.
Okay.
So the one question that was asked, and we absolutely can discuss, is now there is the option to post your photos on the website. If you would like to do that, would you like us to arrange to have a photographer here to do professional photographs to have those posted? And we could work to arrange that for the next board meeting.
Fine by me. I mean, whatever. We don't need to put our pictures on unless you think
it's up to you. It's completely up to you.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ryan pointed that out. It should work better now on like a mobile app, so we should be a little bit more versatile.
Okay.
I also provided you, which this is a lean product, which is the leader standard work. So your expectation as to what, as the executive director filling this role, the things that I've had to do kind of consistently or annually or biannually to ensure that your business behind the scenes flows and moves smoothly. So I kind of laid that all out for you in terms of what we're working on and projects that we have in the pipeline. Is there any questions or anything I can answer about that?
No questions on that, but I just really want to thank you for stepping in and filling the role over the last several months. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're here.
And then my last item is the board meetings for June, July, and August. As you can tell, there are some issues now that we're experiencing in this room. So for the months of June, July, and August, ADOA is actually remodeling this boardroom. And boardroom C is already booked. So that puts us back in boardroom B with the non-functioning mic. So would you maybe possibly entertain either board staff being in the boardroom and the board being virtual, or an all virtual meeting? Or we discussed that we could test the possibility of you all being present and we do like headphones and plug everybody into their mics and see if that works without the feedback. I'm just not, those are kind of the options we
can
have.
Can it be pre-tested? Can somebody go down and test and see if that'll work?
Yeah, we can try that for sure.
I stated this at our little huddle, but I would go on record as saying that I am an advocate for live meetings. My preference would be get as many people into that room as we can.
I agree. Okay. I think the board members need to be present whenever they can be.
Okay.
So if we can do that without audio issues and
okay.
do it either with a Bluetooth or a, mm-hmm. you know, however we need to do it.
All right.
So just Absolutely. Let us know if you think that's going to work. Otherwise, we do it virtually.
Okay. All right. I will work on that.
Was the plan just to do like a headset, microphone
mm-hmm.
kind of setup?
And just, yeah. Have you used your audio for your yep. computer?
Okay.
So, and then hopefully we'll be able to record through the Zoom meeting since we won't be able to use the room recording. But we'll be in there, you know, with the chirping mics and the – and it's just – it's hard when all of us are there and there's not enough mics to kind of cycle through them.
Do you have the equipment for that setup?
Well, I'll probably be ordering like headsets for all of you. So.
And will that be for the subsequent three meetings?
That'll be for the subsequent three meetings. And – they said some of this is due to supply issues, supply line issues, so it could be, we might need to prepare that it might be longer, but that's once, but then they're doing this room first, and then I believe they're doing boardroom C next, and then boardroom B. So all of the boardrooms will be upgraded and remodeled. I think they're spending about $350,000 on all the upgrades.
Sounds fancy.
Yes, we're going to be able to live webcast from any of these rooms. And that completes my executive director report.
Okay, well, this is the time when I call to the public. We cannot respond to any public comments, but the public can make comments. And so I'm going to ask our one person here, if you can tell us what you thought about the meeting, if you had any comments, if you... have suggestions, you know, we just can't respond to anything. So nothing. Okay. Anybody virtually want to make any comments? Anybody left there? Okay. I don't see anybody making any comments. So this meeting is adjourned at 11:26 a.m. Thank you all. And thank you to the new staff.